I'm not ready to date. And the reason I know I'm not ready to date is that I've discovered that right now I am the laziest dater you can imagine. I mean, it's literally like, wait a minute, what? You live 5 blocks from my house? Yeah, I don't think I'm interested. I'm looking for somebody 2 blocks from my house because that's a lot to walk.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just like, what? I don't want to play. I've had a couple potential dates and I'm like, I don't want to. I mean, the idea of dating sounds good. And, you know, yeah. It's like, but the concept of actually sitting down with a person and having to have that fucking conversation, any conversation, I just want to blow my fucking brains out. It's just like, I can't even conceive of having to sit, even over coffee, and say, hey, let me be witty and charming, or let me be blunt and unforgiving, or let me let you look at me a certain way, or, I mean, it's just too much fucking work.
I'm Don Hall.
And I'm David Himmel.
And this is the Literate ApeCast.
The Literate ApeCast uses bad words. If you don't like bad words, maybe you shouldn't listen to it.
So you are Mr. Hot to Trot ladies man again.
No, I wouldn't go that far. You are.
Yeah.
No, you did Hinge. And are you still on Hinge?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not active on it as much anymore.
I'm not active as much? How often do you
I haven't looked at it in, I don't even know how long.
Okay, a couple days.
Maybe a couple, yeah, just, but like, for shit, like, I'm not.
Yeah, you're not scrolling.
I went back to it when you got on it because you're on Hinge now.
I am on Hinge. I'll just read you something. This is it's becoming a chapter in the Divorced Guy's Guide to Divorce book that I'm writing because it's making me laugh.
It's a book now.
It is. It started off as just an article, and it's just getting longer and longer and longer, and it's making me laugh. It's very funny. It's very sarcastic. Like the buds of flowers and weeds and nature slowly poke themselves up from the soil in the spring of Chicago, so does my beaten and battered sense of romance. I wrote yesterday that I believe that once bitten, twice shy. Twice bitten should be cautious, but won't be. Thrice bitten, the gift of both regret and fear are unwrapped. If you manage to get bitten 4 times, maybe you should just die already.
Right.
And that, you know, just so I, you know, basically I started noticing women and thinking, you know, wow, she's cute. Look at those ankles. There's a set of tits. Wow, those are great eyes. You know, I'm just noticing. And I'm like, oh, maybe it's the air. Maybe it's spring. Maybe it's Chicago. Maybe it's just that it's been 2 years. Since I've had sex. I don't know what it is, but and so I thought, all right.
It's probably a combination of all those things.
Yeah, and the thing is, I am literally too busy to, like, and don't have enough money to just, like, go to bars and hang out and try to meet someone. And I'm not doing...
Well, you can make them pay for it.
Well, you know.
You know, find a strong, independent, feminist woman.
Oh, they don't want to have anything to do with me. And I don't blame them. Because I don't read well. I don't read well on paper, you know. But anyway, I decided to do Hinge, and I've been on it for like 2 weeks, and I'm already kind of tapped out and disinterested. You know, and you know,
why so disinterested? What are you finding out? What's disappointing?
Well, all right. Well, you know, here I'm going to give you a couple of observations. These are thoughts for some of the profiles I've seen in the last few weeks. If your college-age daughter is hot, best not put up a picture of the two of you together. Dudes are visual, and the newer model is the one they're looking at. Men with serious money aren't going on Hinge for dates, so your clarification that you went to travel the world is like wishing into a Fritos bag.
Well, I'm sure there are guys out there with a lot of money that are like, I just want a chick that I can take places and impress her because I don't have much of a personality.
I would say it's probably not the big case. But telling prospective dates that they need to be active because you're always on the go is an empty challenge. Guys who hike, run, kayak, and are into serious fitness aren't on Hinge. They don't need to be. And pickleball? Really? So yeah, no, it's you know, the thing is, it's been an interesting experiment. And it really is an experiment. I've actually had a couple of conversations because I don't like the app chat bullshit. I don't know what to say. I don't.
Well, I think.
I think it sucks. And I'm out of practice. So it's just like I say, hey, couple of lines. And then I say, hey, here's my full name. You can Google me. Here's my phone number. If after Googling me, you're interested in having a conversation, call me. Because yeah. It's like, you know, and if you call me after Googling me, then you've passed the first test. Then at least you could handle.
I've never Googled you. Let's see what happens here.
You know, you're going to get Donald Hall, the director of Hero 8 or something.
I'm doing Don Hall Chicago. So first thing that pops up is donhall.me. So your website, yeah. Then the Literate Ape, then your LinkedIn.
Good. Okay.
And WBEZ.
So all the good stuff.
Goodreads. Yeah, I mean, the initial.
Yeah, but if you dive into any of that stuff, you're going to see, oh, look at the books he wrote. And, oh, let's read some Literate Ape and his vulgar perspective. And there's the Substack. And, boy, he talks a lot of shit. And if you're into it, that's great.
One of the, under the images,
yeah,
is the Literate Ape article I wrote on April Fool's Day a couple years ago. Don Hall, 1966 to 2018.
Yeah. See, so you're either into it or not. But no, I've had a couple of conversations, and they all end up probably the most interesting. And this was, she and I talked for like, I want to say like 75 minutes, maybe 90 minutes. Very interesting young woman. I mean, I say young, she's 52, so it's young to me, you know, because just so you know, yes, I do tend to like younger women. I'm not going to fucking apologize for that, you know, any more than most women on fucking Hinge find smoking to be just this shy of being Adolf Hitler. That's fine. It's like, whatever. He's got a choice. You know, it's, you know, like you said, you know, I don't like the fat broads. I like them thin. If you're anorexic, hey, and have tattoos, I'm probably going to give you a call. This is my thing. Whatever. Yeah. Everybody knows what they like. So I can't judge them anymore. You know, but, you know, whatever. But she,
I think that your issue with the, you know, the women saying, like, I want to travel the world, or I like to be active.
It's a pose.
Well, it's all superficial.
Yeah, it's
and
a pose.
I don't mean superficial in a negative way, as in, like, there's nothing else to them. Maybe there's not, but maybe there is. These things, it's hard to do. How do you put the really interesting parts of yourself out there? A lot of people can't do that, either because they don't have any interesting parts about themselves, which I think is probably the case in most cases. But
all right, here's how you do it. Because you get three, for those that have never done Hinge, you get three like written prompts with about 124 characters or 148 characters, whatever it is, to write it in. So it's a paragraph, basically. You get three of those, and they give you a preset of those kind of things. You can put up six photos. You can put up, I think, a video and an audio message, all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So here's how you do it, because there's no pickleball in mine. I'm looking for someone prettier than my hairy guy friends who can challenge me without demanding I change for them, is confident enough to be honest, and has a dark, wicked sense of humor, less digital chat, more cut to the chase, and meet. Dating me is like, that's the prompt. Dating me is like eating a garlic pizza. You really gotta love garlic. It's just too much. I'm loud, irreverent, and frequently inappropriate on purpose. Your job status is the least interesting thing about you, so slide up and grab a slice.
Yeah, I like that.
You know, I mean, it's like, be honest, be straightforward, say what you are as best you can.
Well, but here's my question for you, Don. Do you like coffee in the morning?
I do.
So why don't you put that in your profile? Because women do that all the time.
Because who gives a fuck? And you know, I've noticed, here's the thing. Every other woman, I would say, and just so you know, I specifically made it a deal breaker. I'm only looking for women between the ages of 48 and 58. Or no, 48 and 60, actually. Because I went, you know what? Yeah. Am I more attracted to younger women? Yeah. Does that mean I should date them? No. You know, they're too much fucking work. I mean, you know, I'm past the point where I want to fuck you, but I don't want to talk to you, because now I'm not as interested in the fucking part as I am into the talking part.
And frankly, I think that younger women will want to change a man where older women won't. And an older guy is going to be harder to change because you won't.
Yeah.
Younger men, when we're young, we will change for them.
Yes.
And it breaks us. Uh-huh. And we learn after time and time again to finally say, this is the who the fuck I am.
Yeah.
I don't like it either, but I'm not changing.
Well, the thing is, that's the thing is, and it's taking me, and that's, if there's anything about my 2 years of, you know, divorce and sort of like, you know, I don't want to get into the healing, but just sort of getting past all that shit, is the realization is that I like myself just fucking fine. And yeah, am I a lot to take? Not everybody likes me, and that's okay, because if everybody liked me, I'd be fucking McDonald's, and that's shitty food. So, okay. You know, I mean, everybody likes shitty food because it's basic and it's boring and it's the same shit every time. That's not me. I'm a garlic pizza.
But McDonald's is reliable. You're going to get at McDonald's.
And guess what? That's boring. You always know what you're going to get is dull. You know, I'm not saying it has to be an agent of chaos, but, you know, maybe a little bit of, you know, if you can't handle a little bit of adversity in a relationship, you're probably not ready for one. And what I've realized is I'm not ready to date. And the reason I know I'm not ready to date is that I've discovered that right now I am the laziest dater you can imagine. I mean, it's literally like, wait a minute, what? You live 5 blocks from my house? Yeah, I don't think I'm interested. I'm looking for somebody 2 blocks from my house because that's a lot to walk.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just like, what? I don't want to play. I've had a couple potential dates and I'm like, I don't want to. I mean, the idea of dating sounds good. And, you know, it's like, but the concept of actually sitting down with a person and having to have that fucking conversation, any conversation, I just want to blow my fucking brains out. It's just like, I can't even conceive of having to sit, even over coffee, and say, hey, let me be witty and charming, or let me be blunt and unforgiving, or let me let you look at me a certain way, or, I mean, it's just too much fucking work. It's too much. I can't do it.
Yeah, I mean, it could also be an age thing. It could, it's, you know, I mean, maybe it's, I'm sure it's partly, you know, you're not healed or ready, whatever.
Or I'm just not that interested.
A big part of it is, and maybe you just haven't found the girl that makes you go, holy shit, I need to.
Exactly.
But I think a big part of it is, again, going back to the age thing, like you've been through it and you may have gotten past the point of, I want to put my energy to romance. Now you want to put your energy to comfort. And comfort is not going out and impressing a woman with dates. Like the thing that I love is like, I want a guy who's going to plan the date and plan all the, like, okay. But the way you're saying this feels like you want me to really impress you and you're just going to sit there and wait like a fat fucking Greek guy.
Yeah. It's a challenge. And the thing is, the only thing I would say that I disagree with that, because I agree with most of what you said, is that no, I'm not looking for comfort. If I was looking for comfort, I'd be in Wichita. Because I didn't have to do shit in Wichita.
Well, I think that you're looking for like, I just want to like somebody to have a conversation with that's easy, that I don't have to go in peacock for.
I don't want drama and I don't want to meet new people. I mean, it's just, and maybe that's because in Wichita, I just said, I'm not gonna. And so, you know, I kind of got used to that and I'm kind of fine with that. Maybe I'm getting more misanthropic as I'm getting older and I'm kind of, maybe I've always basically been a misanthrope and the only reason I wasn't misanthropic was because I was fucking horny. Maybe, you know, I mean, maybe the only reason I wasn't a full-blown misanthrope was because, man, I had to dip the dick in some wick, you know? And so, and how do you get that? You get romance, you know, or you hire my ex-wife. And then you don't have to have romance. But, you know, what it boils down to is just like, it's just too much work. I've got so many things that I'm doing. I got so many things that I want to get done. So many things I want to accomplish. I've enjoyed, like I was telling my mom, she asked me, she said, how are you liking the job at Millennium Park? I said, here's the thing. I love it because it doesn't actually feel like a job. I mean, I'm working my ass off. I really am. I'm fucking busting my dick, but I'm having so much fun doing it. That it just doesn't feel like...
Love what you do, you'll never work a day in your life.
Well, no, I'm working a day in my life, but I enjoy the fucking work, and it's fun. And so, yeah, I'm having a good time, and, you know, so I don't need that. I like my apartment, you know, it's tiny, but it's comfortable. doing a lot of writing, not a lot that I'm publishing yet because I'm really working on, I'm writing books, you know, it's like, yeah. Okay, that's a thing that I wanted to do. And I published 2 books last year. I can't get through 2024 without at least publishing one. At this point, you know, there's a finite, there's the clock is ticking, babe.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not immortal. I'm not fucking Dracula. You know, there's no Dorian Gray picture in my house. So right. I gotta fucking get stuff done while I can. So I'm getting stuff. And so I'm doing a lot of writing. So I just don't have any fucking time to like, and just the idea of even a coffee date is just more work than I want to put into it because I got other shit to do. And if that means I'm done with dating or if it's just, I haven't met the right woman. I've said that before. You know, what I can guarantee you, I mean, there's not even a doubt in my mind. And maybe as I say this, it'll happen and I'll have to take it all back. But I really don't think I'm going to meet the next love of my life on a fucking dating app. I just don't think that's in my DNA.
I mean, I'll say that, you know, I used to brag, or not brag, I guess it was a brag, but I used to be really happy anyway. And I would tell people that, you know, Katie and I lucked out because we met each other and got together like right before dating apps really took off. Like there was Match.com and eHarmony. And I think Tinder was a thing.
OkCupid. Like, yeah.
OkCupid. Yeah. Well,
that was the thing. Because Match.com is if you wanted to meet somebody you liked. eHarmony was if you wanted to date a Christian. Right. OkCupid is if you just wanted to fuck some road whore. That's what I recall.
So, you know, I used to brag, like, we didn't have to deal with this online dating bullshit. Oh, my God, we're so lucky. And now we're both dating on these dating apps.
Now, are you on more than one? Hinge?
I'm only on Hinge.
Okay. Yeah.
I downloaded Bumble. I never signed into it. I was on Tinder for a second. And we talked about this. But Tinder was all, like, you know, Barb from Palatine. I just couldn't. Blech. But without these dating apps, I would be sitting here just getting a divorce like normal and not dating because mm-hmm. who am I meeting? Who am I going to meet? That's
you like
but neither would Katie, like, you know, like, and I wouldn't have gotten on the apps if Katie hadn't gotten on the apps.
Sort of like healthy people. Like that's crazy. What a healthy thing to think about just getting a divorce and then dating after. That's crazy talk.
Oh, it is crazy. No. And
it's nuts.
And we've talked about this too. Like I think it was a terrible, and I still think it's a bad idea that we started doing this. And the only reason I got on it was because Katie got on it first and because I'm a fucking lizard brain, you know, and petty. I was like, well, I'm going to do it too. And and I hated every minute of it. And then I settled into it and it's fine. Yeah. I mean, it's weird, but you know, I don't know. I mean, meeting people is tricky.
You know, what's really weird about Hinge. You know, it's really weird about Hinge. And this has happened to me. What? 6 times in the Hinge. Women that I know, like friends of mine, like people that
I've come across that a couple
people
times.
I either knew before or current friends of mine, and I see them on Hinge. And here's the thing, for those of you that have never done this, you could hit the little X, which is the swipe away,
whatever
the swipe is. It's like you hit the X, I'm not interested. They keep coming back.
I know. I get that a lot.
So you have to, what you have to do is, cause I was like, okay, this is not cool. Cause these are like, this is like a friend of mine that I'm not, so there's a little, the 3 dots and you hit it and you can block them, remove them completely. Yeah. And then there's a whole list of reasons. No reason. I'm not interested in this person. This is a violation of Hinge, toxic, fake spam thing, all that stuff. So everybody that I know, like if I see somebody that I've known, either I knew in Chicago before or I know now, that kind of stuff, and I see them, I just mark them as spam. This is a spam profile because that's funny to me.
That's just mean because they're going to get blocked and kicked off. You're taking someone's opportunity and potential for love away from them. Just say no reason.
If they're still on Hinge, they're not finding it. Go to a bowling alley. Fair. Go to a bowling alley or a fucking library and meet a human being, man.
Well, these are human beings. It cuts to the chase a little bit more.
No, it doesn't.
Are they cute? Are they cute? Yes or no? They said something clever or they didn't. Out of here. or I'm into it. Let's you can do see that. What happens next.
You can do that in a bar. You could like walk into a bar and you see somebody that's cute. You're
lucky enough.
And then you see somebody cute. You walk over and say hi. You say hi. That's nuts. That's
scary.
Well, then fuck. Then you really don't care if it's so. If you need so much comfort and simple ease,
but it's
you're
also not creepy. Ready for. Some people get creeped out by that.
Well, then
on these dating apps, people are like, they're like, yes, I want to fuck somebody. I want someone to fuck me. Let's try and do this.
Yeah,
it's really open and honest. It's not at the bar where it's like, hey, how are you? Like, I'm fine. I'm here with my girlfriends. What do you want? Oh, I just wanted to see if you wanted to go out on a date or something. And they're like, well, I have a boyfriend at home. Get the fuck away from me. What are you doing?
You know what? That's okay. That's okay. That's honest. There's an honesty to that. Now, what I will say.
There's honesty in Hinge.
No, there's really not. That's what I'm saying is there's not a lot of honesty in Hinge.
Of course there is.
No, there's really not a lot of honesty in Hinge. It's all some bullshit. It's all posing.
I think you're confusing honesty with depth.
No, I don't believe half of the shit. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. When
you
I
don't
say,
believe that women like pickleball?
I don't think anybody legitimately likes pickleball. I think pickleball is for lazy people that don't actually want to pick up a tennis racket. It's crazy.
I mean, there's an argument to be made there.
You know, the thing about it is this is my problem with dating in general, and it's why I have always rushed into things because that's just how it is that we pretend to be somebody we're not, and then we lure them in or they lure us in. And then after a while you get to know them and you go, oh fuck, this is not who
show your true colors.
Exactly. And so, and all hinges, at least my experience with hinges is what I sense. This is what I get. And this is what, you know, I can make fun of it a lot, but the reality is, especially given that I'm looking at women that are 48 to 60 years old, this is a fucking sad parade is what it is. This is the saddest bunch of fucking Emmett Kelly clowns on the planet Earth, because these are women who have really had bad experience. They've made some bad mistakes because bad things have been done to them. And because they're 48 and they're 60 and they're on a fucking dating app that says everything. It is really a sad thing. And they're pretending.
Is it sad though?
I'm sorry, you giant fat broad. You are never going to run a triathlon. So don't tell me that's your dream.
God, you're tough.
Be honest.
Well, if that's their dream, whether they achieve it or not is something else, but they're honest that it's their dream.
Well, it's obviously, then what that tells me and is maybe, that your dream
maybe what
doesn't
they need
mean
is somebody
that much
like
to
you.
No, fuck that.
Maybe what they need is somebody like you to inspire them and get them off their ass and say, hey, remember your dream? You sold me on this
shit.
You know
what?
Get up and get on the fucking bike.
That's not my job. That's not my job. I've tried that with three wives, and I'm not good at it. I'm not good at that. Apparently, all
encouragement?
All my encouragement amounts to nothing.
You're good at encouragement.
I am, but apparently when it comes to romance, it comes off as paternal. I told you,
it wouldn't if you dated older women.
My first wife was the same age as I was, and one of the reasons we got divorced was she just finally admitted that fucking me was like fucking her dad. That's a quote.
Did you look like her dad?
No, her dad died when she was two.
Okay, so that's on her, because it sounds like she might have some
daddy
issues.
But the thing is, I do come across as paternalistic with just about everybody I know. It's just how I am. It's because I grew up with a million bad male role models, so I just kind of became my own father figure.
I was sleeping with a girl. I dated a girl, and by the very end, it was like fucking her dad, because she looked like her dad by the end. You know, just she had his... She grew his jowls. And I remember looking in the mirror next to the bed, like, you know, Christian Bale, American Psycho style, and thinking, oh my God, I'm fucking her father right now. I can't do this anymore. I can't do this.
This was a really long windup. You were really digging yourself into this joke.
Oh no, there's no joke. There's no punchline.
Oh, this
here.
Was true. That's the truth.
No, this is 100% true.
Oh, okay. I looked
at us in the mirror and I was like, oh my God, she looks like her dad. That's what I saw. Like, all she was missing was the mustache.
Wow.
But she had the same shape, his, like, the barrel body and...
Well, that's what you like. You like him that way. You like him a little hefty.
Stop it. I like what I like.
Exactly. We all like what we like.
Different shapes, sizes, I've...
Do what you gotta do. Yeah, and I can't do that through Hinge. So, you know, my subscription runs out in about a week, and I'm fine with that. You know, the thing is, it's been successful in that it gave me some perspective. I found myself on a couple of phone calls immediately going into my old pattern of trying to sell myself to women who were not sold on me.
Yeah.
And once I realized I was doing that, I called myself on it and said, "You're not into this, are you?" And I don't blame you. And so, my Achilles, that's what I told this one woman. I said, "Listen," I said, "you know, we've been talking for a while. And you've said a number of times, wow, your lifestyle sounds so much more exciting than mine."
Yeah.
And I were not listening. And I'm suddenly listening and I realize, oh, that's you trying to gently let me know you're not interested, but I'm not hearing it. What I'm hearing is a challenge. I said, so I am sorry for not listening to you initially. But yeah, I said, if I'm ever in, Bridgeport, I happen to show up at this place that she works, I'll say hi, but we're not going to date. And she went, oh, okay. I don't think it'd work. I told my mom that, and she goes, well, why wasn't she as honest as you? And I said, Mom, it's different for women. She doesn't know me. Some dudes, when you reject them, become fucking monsters and psychos. She doesn't know that's not going to happen. If she, so she's just kind of being polite, which is not the same. Nope. Now, granted, I've had my fair share of psychos I've been with. So, I mean, but they can't.
Yeah, it goes both ways.
Yeah, it goes both ways. But for women, it's a little bit more dangerous. And so I understand that. But it was like it was on me to listen. And I recognize that, I'm trying to sell her on me. And that's my pattern. And so as soon as I realized it, I said, nope. I am not doing that. I'm just not doing it. It's the Mark Manson. It's either fuck yes on both sides or it's fuck no totally. And that's good. That's a good way of looking at it, at least for
that
me. That's good.
I mean, and that comes with knowing who you are and the wisdom. It's age. Again, it's the age thing. Like your
experience. Yeah.
Smart enough to recognize that now. What is it? You keep saying this and I always forget it. The experience.
The miserable currency of experience. I don't think it's about age. I think it's about experience. I think you could be 25 years old, and if you've had a similar life experience as me, there is going to be a different, you're just going to see the world differently. You're going to have a different sort of perspective on things. And so I don't actually think it's necessarily about age, because there are men my age that are voting for Donald Trump, and I can't really justify that. That's certainly not wisdom. It's a different thing. It's a different thing. However, I do think if you're self-reflective and you've had some experience, you've learned and you learn lessons from it, maybe you get, I don't think I'm wise, but I'd like to approach that someday.
I think you should stay on it. I don't think you'd have to keep paying for it, but if you stick with the free version and pop in every now and again just to see what's there, because maybe you'll find somebody who you're like, she's super cute. Maybe not totally my normal type, but...
I've seen plenty of women that are super cute, not totally my normal type. Like, grown women, like I'm like, wow, she's knocking me out. But then the prospect of actually going and sitting down and having a conversation... is just not something I'm interested in put the energy into.
Yeah.
You know? And so until I'm ready to put the energy into somebody, I just don't have any patience for it.
Well, that's why I think you should stay on it and check it out a little bit, just every now and again, because it's that kind of like, if you're not doing it, you're not going to do it.
And I prefer not to do it. I'll be more productive. I said this, I think I said this.
That's fine too.
I think this on an early ApeCast. If I had not spent most of my life, the best, the most viable years of my creative life chasing women, I could have fucking changed the world.
Yeah.
You know, it's like.
Oh, I'd have been on SNL and in movies.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, so, I've got stuff I want to do. And having some broad, criticize me for anything is just not something I have any room for. Now, granted, I'm assuming I'm going to be criticized, but that's been my experience. And so I assume...
Well, there's also a fine line between criticism and... I don't know. I don't want to say accountability, because that's not right, but constructive constructive criticism.
Yeah, guess what? I don't.
And criticism.
And you know what? I have friends who can give me constructive criticism. And right, that's, I don't need another person in my life to give me even constructive criticism. You know, I'm just not.
Well, because that's the thing too. Is like, why is it that it's easier to accept criticism from our friends than it is from the women that we're dating or married to?
I don't. He's shit out of me.
Well, I think what it is that we're not trying to impress our friends. I'm not trying to impress you. You're not trying to impress me. We're vulnerable with each other. We know our weaknesses and we're cool. Like, we lean on each other. That's what friends do.
Yeah.
With our significant others, we want to be the heroes for them. We want to be perfect for them.
I don't even want to be perfect.
It's a very alpha male way of looking at things.
Just fucking shut the fuck up. That's all I want.
Yeah, you're not ready to date.
That's what I'm saying.
And now, War Sack of the News.
At least it's not Kent State. Dozens of pro-Palestinian protesters arrested at Yale and NYU.
Well, it's one of my three things is it's called camping out at Columbia's communist Coachella.
Jesus.
It's the thing about it is, yeah, the thing is, to me, this doesn't feel that much different than the George Floyd riots and protests. Is that protests, you have a lot? Well, there were definitely some riots going on.
There was some rioting, yeah.
But is that what you have is a lot of affluent white kids who are fucking bored and don't actually want to go to class, so they found something to protest. So that's what they're doing. And I get it.
They're all affluent white kids. I mean, there's a lot of Palestinian kids and other...
Not
all white people.
Not on the college campuses, they're not. In the streets of Chicago, in the streets of New York. Yeah, that's...
I'm looking at a picture from the Washington Post in this story.
All right.
At New York University, and I see a lot of brown people.
Yeah, really? And do they come from like really impoverished families?
Let me ask the photo.
Yeah, can you see that?
Do any of you come from impoverished families?
Yeah. What college are they going to?
New York University.
And? Yale. And Yale.
Yale, yeah.
Yeah, okay, guess what? They're not broke. Their dads have sailboats.
Yale is predominantly Hispanic, Latino, and African American families. And the majority of people at Yale are on some kind of subsidy through the college.
It's amazing you said that with a straight face.
Pretty good, right?
It was good. It was good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So no, I think it's fine. You know, protest what you gotta protest. It's one of my favorite lines I've heard in a comedy special in a really long time. And Neil Brennan, and this is kind of how I feel about it, and I agree. Neil Brennan, who was co-creator of the Chappelle Show, he's got some Netflix specials, and he said, I have a real controversial perspective on the transgender movement. And everybody says, are you ready for this? He goes, yeah, I really don't think about it that much. I think about it about as much as I think about, like, Filipinos that are left-handed. Whatever. Sure. And honestly, when it comes to the protests, that's kind of how I look at it. It's like, okay. You protested this thing a couple of years ago. Now you're protesting this thing, and at some point, when you realize your parents won't let you live with them anymore, you're gonna get a job, and you'll be too fucking busy to protest everything that comes your way.
That's the benefit of the youth is you have time
exactly
and to get behind all the shit.
Yeah, and it's exactly why a good portion of middle America is pissed off that they're getting their loans forgiven because they're getting their loans forgiven for having the time to protest shit while they get a sociology degree.
Yeah, okay. Where do I submit my bank routing number so the Bears can share half the profits with me? Taxpayers would pick up half the tab for the Bears' lakefront stadium development, sources say.
I think it's the shittiest cash grab that I've seen since... They tore down the Tropicana in Las Vegas to build the Oakland A's stadium. It is just such bullshit. You know, here's the thing. When they built Soldier Field, they specifically said, we want an open air thing, despite the fact that it's in fucking Chicago. We don't want a roof. They said that. They did that. Live with it, you motherfuckers. Don't make us pay for it. You pay for it. And it's still, and it also does exactly what Mayor Daley did that was so smart, was that he prevented everybody from getting right up into the fucking lake. That's our one big cool reason. It was the WBEZ thing. They said that lake views were the big icon. Well, fuck off. Soldier Field's like basically going to sit right on the edge. The new version.
Well, what Daley was doing was he was preventing all the industry to be right at the... That's why it all went south in the poorer neighborhoods where he didn't care about.
Well, yeah, but...
And then push it toward Indiana. But
the reason we have a lakefront...
So there's park space, public space, and things to do.
The reason we have a lakefront and reason we have this really lovely area is because we don't have a giant Roomba, a gigantic Roomba-sized building for football.
Well, we have now, we have a smaller, ugly Roomba cloud thing building. I mean, when they added on all that stuff...
I know when they added a shit on, like it's not good. So I don't really trust them, and I don't think taxpayers should have to pay for it. That's
my big issue.
More importantly,
if the Bears want a new stadium,
pay for it.
It's the NFL. It's the Bears. Yeah. You guys have the money.
Fucking pay
and
for
if
it.
We're gonna pay for it, then I want some of the profits. Well, I'm investing in this.
I don't want the profits. What I want is free tickets. If you're gonna have the taxpayers pay for the fucking thing, then if you have a fucking Chicago driver's license, you get into every Bears game for fucking free, or fuck yourself.
Or like $5, you know, some kind of discount
free.
To make it
fucking free.
And I don't know, it seems efficient. UN rights chief horrified by mass grave reports at Gaza hospitals.
Fuck. Well, I can be horrified. I understand the horrified part. And be honest with you, it is efficient. I mean, what are you going to do? How much? There's not that much. Have you seen how big the Gaza Strip? It's not that big.
I have seen it.
It's not even as big as Alabama. I mean, it's not that big. And so where are you going to put all these dead bodies? I don't know the answer to this question.
I mean, you understand that the reason that there's mass graves at the hospital is because Israel was bombing hospitals.
I totally understand it. Yeah. But once the bombing has happened, you know, what are you going to do? I mean, so I'm just saying, the bombing shouldn't have happened. But once the bombing has happened, you got a bunch of dead bodies. What are you going to do with them? We're not to the Soylent Green place yet. So maybe mass graves is the way to do it.
In this is okay. Now that I'm single again, I can get back into bug fucking. With a condom, of course. Hypersexual zombie cicadas that are infected with sexually transmitted fungus expected to emerge this year.
I love it.
So these cicadas that are coming for us in another couple weeks, they have boners, they have swollen labia, and they are full of funk.
Yeah. And here's the thing. The end times has been coming since I was a kid. I remember, like I said, when I was a kid, I was terrified that the killer bees were coming from Africa. You know, the funny thing was, that summer when the killer bees came from Africa, I never saw a single bee. In eighth grade, I went to school wearing a makeshift bee outfit so that I wouldn't get stung. So, and I wore it so many times that they finally sent me home because it stunk because I hadn't washed it. But
add that to your dating profile.
Exactly, right? That's what I'm saying. I'm not afraid of the sexually transmitted cicadas. I just know they'll be there.
In the American justice system is really forgiving to wealthy rapists. Harvey Weinstein's 2020 rape conviction overturned in New York.
Yes, I saw that. I read that. The thing is, we're forgiving of everybody we like, no matter what they do, and we're unforgiving on anybody we don't like. I mean, you know, a perfect example is, hey, football star punches his girlfriend in an elevator. We forgive that. Why? Because that's what he does for a living. He just punches. That's what he does. His whole job is to punch people. Mm-hmm. He just forgot about where he was, you know, and we forgive it because Michael Vick had dog fighting. We forgave that shit.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if we like them, we will justify why it's okay that they broke the law. And if we don't like them, then we justify when it comes to Harvey Weinstein. And I read the brief. I read it today and I went, oh, okay. When it comes to the legal system, there's absolutely some justification for them repealing that because you got to be tried for the crime that you were being tried for and not everything you ever did to every woman. That doesn't mean he didn't do it. It doesn't mean he's not guilty. It means they fucked up because they were overzealous in the prosecution. That's it.
Yeah. And he is still in jail.
Yeah.
And he will probably stay in jail and die in jail.
Absolutely.
Because of the conviction in L.A. But yeah. And finally, in art for art's sake, but still for the sake of at least a few greenbacks, some 300 musicians from Diplo to Nile Rodgers lobby Congress for ticketing reform. Diplo? I don't know who Diplo is.
I don't know who Diplo is. Jesus. See, now you're starting.
That's embarrassing.
You're entering the old zone that I've been living in for a while. I don't know who this fucking person is.
What's an M&M?
Yeah.
Who's a Dr. Dre? What is he a doctor of?
No, I think there should be ticketing reforms. I think it's a great idea. And the reason
it's a brilliant idea.
I think it's a great idea because something you didn't mention in the Rorschach was that the FTC has now rolled back junk fees on airlines. And the FTC has now legally made it. It's absolutely the law now that if your flight is delayed by more than 3 hours, if it's domestic, and 6 hours if it's international, that they have to refund your money on the spot.
Good, yeah.
You know, and so I think that it's fucking high that they're going after the banks for their junk fees. I think ticketing is no different. Ticketing is no different. Yeah. The junk fees, it's like all this bullshit needs to stop because everybody's fucking doing it. I mean, restaurants did it with COVID. Oh, convenience fees. Fuck you, convenience fees. But okay, you know, and so, I think ticketing, concerts are far too goddamn expensive now. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that, everybody has a right to make money for the work they do, for the service they provide. But there is a degree of, there's a line that crosses over from standard, you know, from capitalism of earning a profit
to usury, to greed, man. Yeah, to usury,
and usury, yeah, the Ticketmaster stuff. It's because I could get a ticket for $75.
Yeah,
or I'm going to see the Rolling Stones in June with my buddy Brett Dorsky, and he's written for the 8 before, and you know we're buying tickets. I don't remember exactly how much we paid for them, but they were. They weren't cheap. I mean, it's the Rolling Stones, and we're like we've got seats up there. We're not like front row or anything like that. But I think that after all the fees, like the fees totaled up probably
as much as the ticket,
near the cost of the ticket.
Yeah.
What the hell am I for? What a service fee. That's it.
It's all junk fees. Yeah, I agree. And I applaud Diplo or Diplo or Dipoli.
Diplo.
Whatever.
Diplo?
Is this a woman or a man or other?
I have absolutely no idea.
Okay, well, that person, good for them.
If there was a gun to my children's heads and I had to like pronounce their name right or name a Diplo song, I would have two dead children.
And now, an extraneous quote of the week to ponder as you consider life's most pressing choices.
The quote this week is from Socrates.
Socrates.
Quote.
Socrates?
Yes. Quote, by all means marry. If you get a good wife, you'll become happy. If you get a bad one, you'll become a philosopher.
Well, yeah.
And he said that thousands of years ago, and it's still true to this day.
And how many of us have not learned the lesson from Socrates?
None of us
too
did.
Many.
None of us, yeah. None of too us many. Did. We all thought we could do it better than he did, which is the mistake of youth. thinking that that the miserable currency of experience doesn't count.
What the hell does he know? Like, he wore nothing but robes and sandals all the time. Like, that guy didn't even, like, he didn't even own a pair of Nikes. What does he know about women?
Fair enough. This is fair.
There are six things you should do this week.
My first thing this week is a read. It's in a magazine called Rolling Stone. It's by Larisha Paul. It's important to say this, I feel, just for the sake of the zeitgeist. She's a woman, POC. She wrote a piece called Taylor Swift and Jack Antonoff Have Reached Their Limit. And the reason I had to clarify that she's a woman, a POC, is because... find me a white woman that's going to acknowledge that Taylor Swift isn't God's urine or whatever, you know, the greatest thing since
God's urine.
I don't know. What's something really great? I imagine that God's,
you're thinking
is really
God's
great.
Urine is great. What?
I mean, as far as urine goes. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I think you're kind of just stretching it a little bit, but okay. All right.
I mean, it's been a while since I've been to temple. I don't know exactly what's going on with God these days, but I'm assuming his urine is still chef's kiss.
Fair. My first thing is also a read in the Free Press, camping out at Colombia's communist Coachella. Here's a quote from it. Welcome to the Gaza Solidarity Encampment, a sprawling tent city with a first aid center, a counseling tent, a people's library for liberated learning, a writing center, an art corner, a media corner, and a laundry area for drying clothes after a rainfall. A student named Ariella, whose entire face is wrapped in a red kerchief, whatever that word is, except for two...
Kerchief?
No. K-E-F-F-I-Y-E-H. Kefia. It's a thing.
Okay.
Except for two bright green eyes, tells me there is a space for everyone at the camp. Quote, they say that everybody has a role in the revolution, they told me. Ariella goes by they, them pronouns. Ariola.
Her name is not Ariola.
No, it's Ariella. Ariola. And so there's a space for people who like to organize stuff, and that's me. The protests do not sound, and I've read a couple things, like some of it is, it's not as violent and awful as certain people on the right would like you to think, but it's also not much of a revolution. It's like Coachella, where they're just getting tent cities and fucking around, and every once in a while screaming death to America. It's like, okay, you know what? Yeah. You know? But this is absolutely this is a very entertaining read and supports all of my confirmation bias. So,
yeah, your disdain for the youth is it's thick, my friend. It is thick. My next thing is a watch. It is on Max. It is called, it's a CNN docuseries. It's called Vegas, The Story of Sin City.
Oh, wow.
It's a four-parter. It's just under 4 hours long.
Is it good?
It is good. And, I mean, it's not like an award-winning, you know, life-changing documentary.
It's just nice to watch, yeah, because you've been
but
there.
It's really fun. It's really fun. You know, we both lived in Vegas, mm-hmm. so there's that affection for it, of course. But even if you've never lived in Las Vegas or even ever been there, it's an interesting story about how, you know,
how it became
all
Vegas.
Be from,
well, that's,
you know,
I mean,
yeah.
that's part of, that's a whole chunk of my casino book is some of that, that history. I love that stuff. So yeah, I'll definitely watch it. Yeah. That's a great idea. My second thing is also a watch. I'd never seen him. I knew who he was because he co-created the Dave Chappelle show with Chappelle. But Neil Brennan has done three stand-up specials on Netflix, and I caught the last one, the one he did this year, called Neil Brennan Crazy Good, and I laughed. It's exactly the kind of comedy I love. Mm-hmm. I then went back and watched his first one, which is called Three Mics. Okay, here's the thing. Hannah Gadsby, stuff it up your fucking coos, because this is how you do a one-man show with serious intent. Because what he's got, I love this, because my recommendation is watch Crazy Good, because if you watch Crazy Good, you're going to watch the other two. I guarantee it. But mm-hmm. Three Mics is my favorite. It might be my favorite Netflix special I've ever seen. Because he has, again, three microphones on stage. In the title card, you know that the stage right microphone is one-liners. And the stage left microphone is stand-up. And the middle microphone is emotional stuff.
Mm.
And he goes just round robin. And his one-liners are exact. He's got flashcards and he just does one-liners. And they're fucking funny. And his stand-up is really funny stand-up. And then he talks about his depression. And talks about what depression feels like and how he's had to deal with it, about his alcoholic father. I mean, it's exactly what I think Hannah Gadsby was trying to do, but incredibly funny at the same time. It's really good shit. Neil Brennan, watch Crazy Good so you go, oh, he's talking about stuff that's happening now. Very funny stuff. Mm-hmm. And then you're going to want to watch the other two. And I just think this guy is... He's about the sharpest comedian I've seen in a really, really long time. He may supplant Bill Burr as my favorite modern comedian, because he is killing it. It's such smart, literate. He does a whole bit. It's the funniest bit I've ever heard, and it's because it's so based in truth. He does an entire bit in Crazy Good basically saying that the needle in society has only been moved by psychopaths and drug addicts, and he's got the proof to back it up. It is so fucking funny. So, yes.
So start with Crazy Good or start with Three Mics?
Start with Crazy Good because it gives you the most recent stuff. And then you're going to go back and watch Three Mics, and then you're going to watch Blocks. Because Blocks is...
I've seen Blocks.
Okay.
Blocks I have seen.
I just never seen this guy before, and it was just like, this is exactly the kind of writing I appreciate. It's funny. I love the construction of his jokes. I mean, one of his jokes in the Three Mics, it's his last one-liner, is, you know, I like the fact that... To protect and serve on cop cars is in quotes, like they're kind of being sarcastic. That was Blackout. I was just like, it's just funny shit. He's a really funny comedian. I really like him.
Yeah. My final thing this week, it's a read. This is for the theater goers and maybe more for the Chicago folks, but it's on WBEZ.org. It's by Mike Davis. And the headline is Chicago still a livable city for its storefront theater actors?
It's a good article.
It's a really great article. And, you know, to go ahead and spoil it, here's the answer. No.
You know, the funny thing is, you know, and when I read this, what I thought was, it wasn't in the 90s either. And
it wasn't. When was it ever?
It's never been a livable city. It's that all of a sudden, storefront actors want it to be a living. We wanted it to be a living in the 90s, but we were smart enough to know it's never going to be.
Yeah.
And that... Nobody's going to pay for it, so there's not any money, so it's not going to be a living wage. You're always going to have a day job if that's what you're doing. I mean, it's just always going to be the case. My third thing is, and this is in a couple of weeks, we'll be dropping an episode of the I Like to Watch podcast with Donnie Smith and I, and we're going to be talking about, he picked Dirty Harry, the Don Siegel film from 1971. And so I watched that and I loved it. You know, it's like, oh, because it's a great fucking movie. It's a really good movie. Yeah. But it made me think about Don Siegel. It made me think about Clint Eastwood. It made me think about sort of that thing. And Don Siegel directed Dirty Harry. His last arguably good movie he directed was 1979's Escape from Alcatraz. And so I watched that. And I got to recommend that movie. If you have not seen it, it's worth watching. It's one of the best performances by Eastwood. It's some of the most adventure for Don Siegel. He does some really amazing. He's not the kind of director that does like big set pieces, like a Fincher or a P.T. Anderson. But this was like early stuff where like the whole first. I want to say, I don't even know how long the sequence is, but the first like 7 or 8 minutes, not a word is spoken. It's literally. Clint Eastwood being taken and being processed and being stripped naked and walking, having to walk the halls with his feet pattering, all this thing. And it's this whole thing with this great score, and it's just silent and it's fucked up. And it's like he's being processed in Alcatraz, and it ends with one of the most classic phrases ever put in a film: "Welcome to Alcatraz." It's fucked up good. It's a really good movie, and I recommend it to anybody who hasn't seen it, or if you haven't seen it in a long time, rewatch it. It's really good. It's on HBO Max. So, totally free if you've got an Max.
Totally free.
Totally free. That's it.
And there's your show.
That's the thing. I hope
to see you on Hinge someday soon.
You know, can you see my profile?
No, because I'm not looking for men.
So if I said I was looking for Jewish men, I could see yours?
Probably not, because I didn't put down that I was Jewish. But if you were to put, like, you know, I'm looking for men who are, you know, emotionally timid, super handsome, funnier than most people you know, with a throat destroyer for a penis, then, yeah, you'd find me. Gross. Gross. I got family that listens to this show. What am I doing? Anyway, family, tell your friends about me.
You can listen to the Literate ApeCast on LiterateApe.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere you go to get that delicious podcast experience. If you enjoy the dulcet sounds of two white guys babbling about whatever comes into their stunted brains, leave us a review anywhere that, you know, reviews are left, and share it with someone whom which you have a dubious relationship.
For information about Literate Ape, go to literateape.com, of course, and check out the rest of our podcasts and our years of scribbling. Music on the ApeCast is courtesy of Mike Vinopal and Local Motive. You can find them all over Chicago and online at localmotiveband.com.